B2, number 21B.
They had to fight against something. And naturally, the whole lives of the apostles and the early Christians is showing that, that they always had to fight against the universe. It wasn't so much a question, is thou God and man one, but is man one with the universe? And that was not properly answered. And I think that's why early Christianity just couldn't make the grade, because Paul's teaching is making quite a lot of error. He makes a lot of error as power and reality. He fights against the powers. And therefore, Mrs. Eddy could say that she picked up the line where Paul left it. And so, only little by little, the higher sense of oneness, as we see it in science, was being introduced. We come to the textbook. Already in the Bible, it is true. In some way, it has been said, I and the Father are one. But it's just the relationship between God and man. But that oneness with the universe was not brought out so clearly. The apostles, the disciples, were constantly fighting against the universe. Only when Mrs. Eddy came, she really made nothing of evil. I think Paul lost his head because he made a reality of evil. If he hadn't made a reality of evil, he wouldn't have lost his head. Only when Mrs. Eddy came, she was no more fighting with the world. And she said that she ceased to her warfare. And what is that reference? And I tried to cease the warfare with matter.
The side of spirit.
I took the side of spirit,
the
yes.
From the dream of
yeah.
The flesh.
Fine.
Took
the side of spirit and so tried to cease the warfare. Here we come to a finer and more compound and more universal sense of oneness. And that she could only do by first making nothing of evil. So science, the fourth side of that development, comes along and adjusts even that belief and says that principle and idea is one and evil is nothing. This is the great point. Well, Mrs. Eddy started her revelation by seeing that mind is all and matter is nothing. And you see how important this is, because theology, which rests on the Bible, would not accept the unreality of matter. So we can see the great step that Mrs. Eddy made the moment she went further than the Bible. The moment she began to see that evil, matter, mortal mind, sin, sense testimony, all that is nothing. And that we don't have to fight against it. So only then, when thought has reached that point, where not only God and man is one, but also God and the universe is one, and where man and the universe is one, only then we really have a true monism. So from the early start of the Bible, with the struggle for monotheism, step by step by step, the true sense of spiritual monism had taken place in consciousness. And we can see that this took quite a few thousand years. At that point, Mrs. Eddy could lift the term God and man out of its corporeal sense into an incorporeal sense of God, and into an incorporeal sense of man, into an incorporeal sense of the universe, and thus had nothing left but principle and idea. and so could state the oneness of being as principle and idea is one. No more are one. This big and last statement of hers from 1907 pinnacles now or climaxes now not monotheism but spiritual monism. So let's see that we are not satisfied with the biblical sense of oneness, the biblical sense of oneness which more or less has indoctrinated us that the highest thing a Christian can believe in is that he has just one God. The highest sense we can understand is that there is just one, and that that one includes God and His Christ and the universe and understanding, everything. That everything is one, and therefore within that one there is nothing to be fight against. Can we see how here we really come to the crux of the whole thing, namely that we begin to realize that only then is our understanding, only then is our consciousness at the point of oneness, when it has no more anything which is opposite to it, contrary to it, which one has to fight, which is hostile, where there is just one consciousness. So, in this oneness, we can see we have no more people. We have no more mortal mind. We have no more material universe. We have no more sinful universe. But we have no more a people universe. As long, therefore, here we still believe that we have a people universe, therefore a universe with 3 million people fighting each against the other and trying to improve that people universe, trying to put something better into that people universe, we are still dualists. We have not found spiritual monism. We have not found that standpoint of the divine principle which only knows itself. And if we would see that, naturally we would be the greatest savior to the world. Because what the world is suffering of is just that it is a people universe with all that is implied with it. A people universe with people's own minds, with people's material motives and material inclinations, with people's sinful and bodily concept, and with people's personal sense. If we would have a right sense of the universe of being as the universe of one principle which has an infinite idea, this idea, as we have seen, would be the savior of the people universe. That's why I feel that one of the most important aims Mr. Zeddy wants to attain through the textbook is by starting and showing that God is good and all, that man is perfect and complete, and then from that point on work up and work up slowly by exchanging the term God for the synonymous terms, and then exchanging the term man by idea, and in this way leaving behind the concept of God and man, which have usually still in people's mind the corporeal sense, leaving that behind so that the purity of being comes forth clearer and clearer as principle and idea. So that in the last four chapters of her textbook, especially the last three chapters of her textbook, she can bring out that nothing is going on in reality but principle and idea, and this one. I feel we would be great people, if we may say people, great beings, if we would be able to drop that sense that there is a God and that there are people, and could just drop the whole thing as just a hangover from mythology and take on the scientific sense of being, which does not know anymore a God which is indefinite, but a spiritual principle, and that spiritual principle knowing itself only as ideas. So here, really, we begin to feel, therefore, we touch oneness when we see that all is mind and mind's ideas, that all is spirit and spirit's ideas, that all is soul and soul's ideas. Therefore, when we study these synonymous terms and know their ideas, then naturally we can sit back and really rest in that consciousness of oneness which acknowledges only the infinite operation of the synonymous terms through their ideas. That's our new heaven and our new earth, as the Revelator has seen. A new heaven and a new earth is not just a heaven which is bluer than before and a new earth where there is no war, but just still people going around and having lots of trouble, but lifting that right out of the corporeal sense into the infinite sense, and just dropping that thing that we have to do with God and man, and accepting that our consciousness should just be at that point where we acknowledge principle working through its own ideas. And that's the universe. The universe, uni means one, and verse turned into one. Then we have a real unity. So this is the point where Mrs. Eddy has picked up the sense of oneness and naturally began to elaborate on that sense of oneness. So let us just quickly look at this oneness from the point of view of principle and see it reflected in the Word and in the Christ and Christianity and science. From the point of view of the Word, therefore, we begin to see the statement of being and see, all right, our starting point in consciousness, whatever we do, whatever is the problem, whatever we have to tackle, is the starting point is there is one being, one infinite being. That being, capitalized B, is not just one God. It's not just a monotheistic concept. One being means a spiritual monism. By the way, so often you begin to hear this term monism in the literature of Christian Science and the center of Christian Science. Really what we should say, it is spiritual monism, because monism, as the dictionaries make it very plain, is just monism. Comes from mono, you see, one, the theory of one, but there are many monisms in the world, namely a material monism, which says that all is matter, that mind is nothing else but the form of matter, so they have a material monism, or there is another school which is called the idealistic monism, which says all is mind, and matter is only a form of mind. But we have a different one. We have a spiritual monism, where we begin to see that neither human mind nor matter are real, but where only the spiritual is real and constitutes the universe. So actually we should be careful when we use the term monism and call it spiritual monism. If we go out that there is only one being, and that this one being is spiritual, and therefore includes everything, then we must come to consider that that which is called evil must be explained from within that infinite one. If there is only that infinite being and there is nothing besides that infinite being, then the question of evil has to be resolved from within the infinite one, because there is no outside. At that point we have no outside and can almost say evil is outside of good or is outside of the infinite. And therefore we have to explain evil from within the infinite and have to explain it naturally as the misunderstanding of the one being. So that at that point, you see, we begin to realize that evil really is good. Good misunderstood. There isn't an evil which exists and which, as Paul is going to fight against. But that evil is the one being misunderstood. That evil is not something per se, no reality, no power, no law, no existence, no being. It's not something per se. So, but it would therefore show we only have evil when we do not go out from the infinite one. The moment we do not go out from the infinite one, this is called evil at that point. So can you see, whatever we have to deal with in the universe, with us and so on, which manifests a kind of evil, it can only manifest and be brought to notice to us as evil because we do not go out from the infinite one. If we would go out from the infinite one, which has only its own ideas, we would not even ask that question. We would not even be aware of that question, is there evil? We would not even see nor notice nor be conscious of it. And that is the great point. And always feel, you see, that the Christian Science student, he wants to overcome evil. He wants to overcome it by looking up to God and see God is good and this good must be mightier. But when we come to the oneness of being, we see this is still a sense of duality. If we have a sense of oneness, then we are not going to look at both sides, but we are going up to the point of being and look out from being, and from being we can only see the operation of ideas. Next week when we do the Christ vertical, we will see that question of evil and good being solved so wonderfully through that Christ vertical, because then it shows how the idea as such only knows itself as idea. Only to the ignorant, only to the misunderstanding does something appear as evil. Good appears to the standpoint outside of the infinite always as evil. The good is always appearing as evil when we don't look at it from within the oneness of being. And so this is just to give an indication of what we will be doing next week too. Here an indication that the solution of all questions of evil we have by just taking the right standpoint and going out from the oneness of being. Then naturally, when we go out from the infinite one, it must be an infinite one. That oneness is not just a number one, an amorphous one or whole. It is an infinite one. Therefore, Mrs. Eddy says, this infinite principle has an infinite idea. And so I begin to see that this infinite one can only be understood through its ideas. Therefore, only then, when I go out from the infinite one and begin to see the categories and the signs and the system of the infinite one, that then my standpoint of the Infinite One is understanding and not belief. So much today in the world is showing forth the oneness of being. There are dozens and dozens of metaphysical groups and etc. which make a point that the being is one and there is only one being. And when you analyze that, you see that it is a belief in oneness. Because nobody tells us what this oneness is. And this is, to me, the great contribution that Mrs. Eddy made to the present age. That she alone, from all those many different groups, metaphysical groups, which also, like the mystics, say there is only one, that she took the whole sense of oneness out of a mystical sense and put it into a scientific sense. Today, the world is so irritated by what's going on. They feel they find no solution for what's going on. There's so much going on that the world feels it's too much, I can't solve that anymore. But somehow they try to find a solution. And unfortunately, they try to find the solution by escaping, facing these problems, and going back to mysticism. Because in mysticism, they feel so nicely kept in the sense that there is only the Infinite One. And so they can turn the back to the whole world. But that is going back by 1,000, 2,000 years. That's not going forward. Going forward means that we see that the world is one and that being is one, but we must see what the categories are of this being, so that through the ideas of being, we really can dissolve the question of evil. And only in this way we help the world. Not by turning our back on them, but by seeing what is the divine principle. That divine principle translates itself to the point of idea, as we have seen in the dimensional consciousness, to the point of ideas. These ideas begin to analyze, uncover, and annihilate the belief of evil. Then we deal with the world in a scientific way, and not in a way of escapism. You say escapism?
Yeah.
Yes. So, here, the Infinite One, in its statement as the word, demands, therefore, science, system, categories. Can you see, all what we have been doing this whole week was building up that sense that there is in being a complete, ordered sense of scientific evolution. That through those different stages, we come nearer and nearer to the self-operative, cybernetic sense of being. And at that point, therefore, we can say, oh yes, now I have a scientific sense of being and not just a mythical sense of being. This will, I think, be explaining that Infinite One from the standpoint of the word or of its presentation. Presenting, to summarize it, that there is an Infinite One, that Infinite One has a spiritual monism, namely that principle has an infinite ideas, and these ideas constitute the universe. But that this principle, because it's principle, must have a science. Therefore, from the standpoint of this principle, we must be able to think scientifically, therefore in laws, therefore in orders, therefore in rules, therefore in systems, therefore in structures, therefore in dimensions, therefore in cybernetics, so that our consciousness is not just a slumbering consciousness of oneness, but a very clear, transparent consciousness of science. Now, the Christ aspect of this oneness of being, The Christ aspect of this oneness of being is that this principle says, I have a Christ. I have an idea. I have a purpose in view. I have a name in view. I have a goal in view. I have an idea. I'm not just a static one, infinite one, but within that infinite one there is a constant evolution going on, a constant restructuring of that one. Can you now understand what I say? When I say a constant restructuring of that one, I remember at the first day I said that and you couldn't quite grasp what I meant. Now you can grasp it, because through what we have been doing, we have been seeing that this infinite one has just infinite categories, and all that is happening is that nothing new is coming into this one. Nothing new can ever be created, but that which exists can always be rearranged, restructured, re-cybernetted, if you want to say. There is that constant self-organizing power going on, which is nothing else that the elements within the Infinite One are constantly brought into new orders, into new relationships, that into new systems, into new matrices, into new structures, you see, into new dimensionals. And so, actually, this is the Christ science idea. Christ as science says, the Infinite One is not only asking for a science, but the Christ is that which knows how to restructure being constantly, so that being never repeats itself. Never repeats itself. So we have the dynamic of the Christ, the ever-operative principle as the Christ, going on and on and on. And so this one being says, I have an idea, and I have an expression of that idea. We get the movement into it, we get the operation into it, and we just can sit back assured in rest and know that every second, every split second, the whole of being is constantly expressing itself and expressing itself as a new constellation of its own being, a new structure of its own being. When one says God has an idea or principle has an idea, it's very difficult to grasp really what that means. It doesn't say here God has ideas at that point. The Christ is singular, there are not many Christs, and so at that point the Christ is just a divine idea, singular. And it means that this one being has a name in view. And in order to attain that aim in view, the idea means that it conceives that idea, that it expresses that idea, that it is really executing that idea?
Executing.
Yes. Yeah. And fulfills that idea, you see. That's what I feel, how one can describe the term Christ idea. I tried to show that in that little pamphlet on the Christ idea. Because I feel so much that the Christian scientists have not a full sense of idea in the singular. What is the idea of God? What is principle's idea? It is not just principle thinking out something or something like that. It is that principle has actually a great aim in view, which it does as a finalistic drive, tries to fulfill its own purpose. And in order to do that, it moves. Therefore, we can have that sense when we look into the universe or our problems and our lives and so on, we just can feel I don't need to know how things are going to be solved. All I have to know is that at this very moment, at every moment, if I'm awake or asleep, whatever I do, the Christ idea is at work. And it has jolly well set the name. And it jolly well has set that aim, and it's jolly well going to express itself in order to achieve that aim. And so put everything into operation in order that this aim will be attained so long until it is fulfilled. That's the idea. So the Christ has an idea. The oneness of being has an idea. And naturally that idea is beyond the concept of good and evil. It doesn't take into account good and evil. It just says, I am what I am, and that is what it is. It not even calls itself good. It only says, it's the idea. Because from the oneness of being, we have no dualistic thinking, therefore no dualistic logic, no evaluation in terms of good and evil, right and wrong, and so on. But there we trust, you see, there we trust that our consciousness, which goes out from the one principle, has a Christ, and that whatever happens on account of this consciousness is. Perhaps we can say is good, but is. No matter how it appears to the human. To the human it can appear as evil, as a catastrophe, as captivity, can appear as anything, but it is always good, because it's the idea at work.